from the underground.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Underground. Ty, what the hell are we doing?
What's going on?
We're doing another episode in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
We're spoiling the people by doing a truncated episode. This is going to be the 2013 NHL season of podcasts.
That was the worst.
Yeah, we never came up with a big three. We're not even going to bother this week. So apologies if we seem like we're kind of mailing it in, but we've started doing the Bruins post-game pods. And so, you know, that's at least a supplemental content for your liking. And since we had the Wednesday night Bruins game, we recorded that, and we figured people would be happy to listen to our thoughts on that game. But there's still been some stuff to come out after it. So I guess we can get into that now.
Yeah, it's never ending, apparently. It's just apparently, you know, neutering them in game two was enough. Now we got to do it preemptively for game three, too.
So. Yeah, how many 5-on-3s were there?
Three 5-on-3s in the same game. I've never seen that before.
Two in the second period alone?
Never seen that. My entire time covering the NHL, I've never seen a team have 3 5-on-3s in a playoff game.
That's insane.
And these weren't like 20-second 5-on-3s. They were like full 2-minute 5-on-3s. It's ridiculous.
It's a little wild to think like the Bruins were that out of control, and Carolina was... They were playing nice and clean. Perfect little angels.
Oh, perfectly. Oh, that Niederreiter poke to Carlo's ankles that gets the first power play of the game? Totally cool. That's part of the game. Okay. So is what they do in response then. Like, I hate Marchand giving a little whack to Chekhov so much. Like, because at the end of the day, the Bruins are already getting their asses kicked, right? They're getting dominated on the puck territorially. Like, they're not doing what they want to do in this series, in my opinion. Like, what they highlighted as what they need to do, they're not doing.
No, Carolina's dictating the whole thing.
But now we're talking about officials, because 9 power plays wasn't enough for Brad Brindamore last night. So he complains after the game, and what does the NHL do? $5,000 fine for Brad Marchand for slashing Carolina's goaltender.
Right. What do you expect for Brindamore to say? It's not. I mean, he's talking. I mean, David Pastrnak. I mean, is there a more predatory player in the NHL?
Oh God!
Anything Pastrnak is known for, it's trying to injure goaltenders.
I hate, the guy who's so afraid of contact that led to the second goal for Carolina.
If there's anything David Pastrnak wants to do on the power play, is it score a goal? No, it's to injure the opposing goaltender.
But here we are now. Like, I'm so tired of this league, the referees in the Department of Player Safety being stormtroopers. I'm so tired of it that if you say something, they will fall for it. Just Jedi mind trick them. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. I am so tired of this. I want to see the games played. I don't... And what pisses me off about these fines, so they fine Marchand, they fine Forbert. What bothers me about this is now the Bruins, who just lost their number 2 defenseman, can't set the tone physically for game 3. Because the league is now saying to them, we're watching you, so nothing...
Especially Marchand.
No funny business here.
Not that I'm trying to like engender sympathy for Brad Marchand, but he's got to be inside his own head so bad, because he can't buy a goal right now, and now he can't even... Like, come on. Like, the whack to Kachekov. First of all, the referee was right there.
Yes.
Second of all, it was like a standard hockey shenanigans.
Yes.
Like, why are we fining people for that?
And Kachekov was the aggressor after the initial separation. He keeps skating towards Marchand.
Marchand gives him a little like mini another, which is again just a little mini hockey shenanigan thing. Little mini cross check while he's skating by. And then Kachekov goes up and gives him a little whack on the shin pad. Marchand, it looked like he was getting up and he was about to like give him the retaliatory wag. He stopped himself.
But then he just,
the floodgates open because...
He kept coming at him.
Kachekov goes all the way out to the face-off dot to give Marchand a little shove.
Yeah, you're in the paint. You're protected. You get out of that paint. All right. You're fair game now.
They got matching penalties. That should have been enough. That should have been the end of it.
That should have been enough.
I'm okay with no fines whatsoever. If they came out and they fined the Carolina people, it's not like I would have been like, yes! Get them.
No.
Player safety.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe some of the Hurricanes fans in the quote. I couldn't help but check some of the quote tweets. I checked the quote tweets thinking it would be all Bruins fans. What the hell's going on here? But it's all Canes fans. Like, it's not enough. You should have gotten at least 4 games. I was thinking maybe 5. Like, over the little slash to Kachekov.
I mean, it's
what
just,
are we doing?
It's just ridiculous. And the people who cheer on player safety, you are a loser. You are a loser person in a loser life. If you're like, yeah, get him, George Parros. Get him. Suspend him so hard. Oh, I love it, Daddy.
They love
Find me more.
My God.
They're such losers. You're such a loser.
Such sadists and masochists, apparently. Oh,
if you cheer.
Yes, give it to me.
If you cheer suspensions and fines, like, ugh, you're the worst kind of
they weren't
sports fan.
No, they weren't cheering. They were complaining that it wasn't enough.
Yeah, it's just.
They want everything. Anytime Brad Marchand like breathes on someone, they want him to get suspended for life.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
It's yeah, it's just. I mean,
and I get that he's like, you know, he is who he is, and like it's not like he never gets what he deserves. But like that is stupid.
No, I mean, I think for the temperature of that game, with the Bruins losing their number two defenseman and getting penalized every time there was a scrum. For Marchand to show the initial restraint, he wanted to wind up and whack him on the first one, but he's like, nah, he's skating backwards. But then when Kochetkov's still coming at him, all right, you're fair game now, man. Like, you are entering the Thunderdome. Have fun.
Yeah, I mean, he lost his cool. He lost his cool, and like it was bad for him to. It could have just been the one penalty if he didn't retaliate. So, I mean, you can get on him for that, but I just don't get the follow-up moves. Like, it just seems cruel.
I guess
They get an excessive amount of having to, penalties they have to kill. They get fined after the game. They're losing the series, getting their ass kicked. Carolina is clearly the better team. What is going on?
Yeah, no, that's a great way of putting it.
I feel like Alex Jones or something. Right? This is a coup underway in the offices of Causeway Street. Like, I don't get why they're. The Bruins are just getting stomped on.
You made my point right there.
They're getting stomped on in all aspects.
When you just said that. He hurt himself by taking the retaliatory penalty. They were going to get a power play out of that. They were calling Kochetkov for it. And then Marchand slashed him back. That's enough.
That's punishment enough.
My God, the over-punishing of one team in this series is so embarrassing.
I just don't get it. Like, if you're going to find that, if you're going to find Forbert for his stick going a little high, I mean, I get he busted the kid open, it looked like, on that play. But if you're going to find for that, like, what? I mean, Svechnikov did get a little chin on that hit to Hampus Lindholm.
No, we're not going
to
look at that one.
I didn't think it was a dirty hit. I thought it was a very violent but clean hit.
Are we going to look at the knee on McAvoy late in the game? No, that's cool too. We're gonna Zapruder film the Forbert high sticking penalty. Sick. What a good thing we're doing here. This is really helping the sport.
Like, really, I don't blame people for becoming like Bruins conspiracy theorists or having a persecution complex when something like this goes down.
Well, you know,
and like at the end of the day, I don't care about fines, but it's just like, oh my God, they can't catch a break.
Brendan Moore bitches about calls every postseason. He complains about calls every postseason.
Well.
Playing the game, I get it, but as
the coaches have to do a little of
Doesn't it like stop working after a while? It doesn't work for Cassie anymore. Cassie complains about officials. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't work.
Didn't he say something about the hit on Lindholm?
He said
him a little high.
He goes, I thought it was a little high. You know, that's why he's out of the game. But they didn't see it that way. And he said, we're moving on. Like, he wasn't like, how can you ever do this? It wasn't like the Islanders rant last year talking about the New York Saints and everything.
Oh my God,
like
that was good.
But again, at the end of the day, I hate that this works. I hate that a coach complaining after the game. I mean, Brendan Moore is saying they're targeting goalies. Shut up. My God.
I just don't, you sound like such a loser. Like, I don't get how he could, like,
possibly
how
think
that could come
yeah.
out of his mouth and, like, try to project that as an honest statement. You're talking about little David Pastrnak.
Right.
The guy ducked out of the way of a hit and then basically gave up a goal.
Yeah.
Because of it. But that same guy is going to deliberately run your goalie while his team is on a power play?
Find them harder, Daddy.
It should have been at least six games.
Yeah,
what is going on with hockey fans these days?
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Could these fines be a sign that like the league doesn't want this kind of shenanigans? They don't want the little cross checks and the little slashes. They want to just play.
Skate with the puck.
No, they want to get hitting out.
According to Brendan Moore.
Well, I guess if they want to get hitting out, they would suspend Svechnikov.
Brendan Moore dropped a little nugget last night at post game where he said before the game we got the notice from the league to stay out of the stuff after the whistle. I was like, they're already sending out those notices after game one. And game one wasn't even that hot, I didn't think, for the Bruins Hurricanes. It's like, why are they sending out that notice already? Like, who cares?
Oh, so
like,
maybe there is a thing going on. They want to get that out? Why?
I don't know.
What is with leagues wanting to sap the games of emotion? It's like the NFL doesn't want players celebrating or taunting or anything like that.
Well,
NHL doesn't want scrums after the whistle, which is like so standard, and nobody cares.
Have you?
Everybody likes it. Who complains about that sort of thing?
Have you seen
other
any,
than some
any
of these
games?
Pussy fans, I guess.
Have you seen any games besides Bruins Hurricanes in the playoffs?
No, I saw a little bit of the Toronto series.
It's a power play playoff. I mean, it's every game I've watched has been an obscene, in my opinion, anyways.
That's
obscene a number of power plays. And I'm
well,
saying,
I was wrong.
I don't like this. This is not the product that I want to watch.
Hopefully, that's not. I mean, that could just be they're trying to get scoring up, but that's just like that's artificial getting scoring. That's like That's like juicing the baseballs.
Yeah.
You know, it's not actually making the games better.
No, I don't.
It's
I mean,
just literally increasing the number of points on the scoreboard.
I want to see games decided 5-on-5. I don't want power play duels. That's not fun. And maybe, you know, maybe I'd feel differently if the Bruins had a 30% power play. But at
I
the
wouldn't.
Same, but I enjoy the tight checking 2-1, 3-2 kind of games. I don't want 5-4, 6-5.
I rarely care about power play goals. They're rarely impressive.
Yeah, it's just for me.
It's always just about puck movement, one timers. Like, there's never. You know, the most dazzling goals happen at 5-on-5 or even strength.
You build teams to win at even strength, yeah. Right? You don't build
That's
teams
That's the majority of the game either. Even if you call a million penalties, it's still at most like a third of the game played in a special team.
So last night, the Hurricanes had over 12 minutes on the power play. That's 20% of the game. They're on the
That's
power
insane.
Play. That's too much. That's too much. Like, you at a certain point, like, again, I hate that we're talking about this, but you got to look at the numbers at a certain point and go, okay, have they really been almost double up the Bruins in power play opportunities? Like, have they been that good that they're drawing that many calls? The answer is no. I'm sorry. If you watched last night's game, the answer is a resounding no, unless you're wearing a Hurricanes jersey. Like, that's how it is. Like, and that's annoying to me, is to have 20% of the game shorthanded for a team. I mean, you got to be stabbing
guys. That is insane.
Guys.
That it's, shouldn't be like that for anybody.
No, and that's not a good product. And so, and this is not just specific to Bruins Hurricanes. You're seeing this a lot in other series right now. Too many power plays. I want to see 5-on-5 play.
Right, and I hate the excessive stoppages and the reviews, and they got to change the 5 to a 2.
And all
that stuff. Like, it just slows the game down, and it just makes it less entertaining. And
I mean, we're reviewing the Pastrnak incident as a 5, right? And then Svechnikov sends Lindholm to like the ninth
the
dimension,
astral plane.
and there's not even like you know, we'll look at this. I think
Doctor Strange'd him out of his body.
Yeah, I think it's a hard hit. I think it's probably, I would say, 90% clean. I didn't get a good angle to see where the principal point of contact was. Like,
the intent was clean. He didn't target the head at all. He might have slid up into his chin a little bit. That's really all it was.
But you're seeing a guy wobble off the ice, and no one's like, we should maybe look at this and see. But
right,
no.
He might have concussed him at some. Like, what is the prognosis with Lindholm? He's not playing
Lindholm
game
is
three.
Not playing game three. He's back home in Boston. He didn't have to stay in Carolina, which was one of the concerns that they had. He traveled home last night. He's out for game three.
So
they'll see
probably,
for game
they wouldn't
four.
Let him travel with a concussion, would they?
Right
after?
It's happened
the
before.
Day after?
It's
would
happened
they let
before.
You get on a plane?
I mean, if they don't think it's horrible, I don't know. I think clearly he has a concussion.
He got his bell rung, eh?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Put him in the cargo.
That's clearly what happened. I mean, yeah, they put him in a dog crate. Just sliding
Start
around.
Feeding him treats.
And just banging
It's
him
like, guys, stages. I know you hate the Bruins, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Give the man a regular seat.
He's out for game three. Game four, that seems optimistic, in my opinion. There's also the fact that you have a lot of money tied up to him for the next 8 years. You don't want to Savard him and rush him back, and now all of a sudden, okay, now he's not available for October. And you're like, oh, well, that's not good at all. So it's going to be interesting here. But the fix is Mike Riley. He's had experience playing with Carlo and with McAvoy, so you could do either one of those if you wanted to, and you go from there. It's not a horrible fix, in my opinion. I know that Riley has his warts, has his problems, but, you know, if you're looking for a breakout assistant here, which is what they were, why they put Lindholm with Carlo, that because he's so good in the breakout. That's where Mike Riley kind of excels as a player, right? Is offensively,
yeah.
So it's not the worst switch. It hurts your PK, so you got to stay out of the box, which we've talked about has been a problem. But but overall, it's not like going from McAvoy to Josh Brown, right? It's not that steep a drop off based on what we've seen this year. So we'll see.
It's a reasonable replacement level. It's not a total drop off like you would with Josh Brown. So that's this all being said about the penalties and the toughness and the fighting and all that. So they, you think they got to force Svechnikov to drop the gloves here? Put a tough guy in the lineup. Make him go.
I wouldn't give him the option. I would say, all right, you're going to play that way. We're going to play this way, and you're going to have to do this. Like,
yeah,
you got options, right? You got Bleed. Bleed's not a fighter. He's more agitator, but Bleed can light somebody up. If I'm in the Bruins, I'm putting Bleed in for game three. And I'm probably putting Wagner in for game three, too. And
Start him?
I would try to get
a nice tone-setting shift in there.
Hey, we're going to dump it in Tony D'Angelo's corner, Slavin's corner. Run him.
Yeah.
And up the temperature. Like you have home ice for these next two games. Like, you have the benefit of last change. You can get the matchups you want. But physically, you need someone to get out there and match what we've seen from Carolina so far. Whether you like the hit by Svechnikov or not, I think there's got to be some retribution there where you need to return.
You
got to
hit someone. You don't have to, like, go injure someone. You don't even need to fight, but, like, hit someone. Get return the favor.
Exactly.
You can't let that team run you over. And, like, I don't think it's like the – I know that there was probably a lot of discussion where it's like the biggest thing is that they're not tough enough. They need more tough guys. And that, I don't know that – I think that's just one piece of it. I think that it's really mainly about that they're just bigger, faster, more skilled, and they're beating them to the loose pucks, and they're winning the battles. They're beating them to the play, so to speak. And then just on top of that they're playing with more of an edge. So, I mean – that, I think, is the whole thing. So I would love to see the Bruins play with a little more of an edge. And like, I think skill wise, they obviously haven't finished, but they've given themselves all kinds of opportunities. So I don't know if there much needs to change there. But what needs to change is playing with that edge and getting in their face a little bit.
They have
to do a little more of that.
And they're an interesting team, right? Because, like, they got guys that have size but not skill. And they got guys that have skill but no size, right? Like, in the modern NHL, you need to have size, speed, and skill, right?
So you
got guys like Foligno and Nosek who have some size, but not a lot of skill, right? Like, they're not making offensive plays. Clearly, we've seen, and you got guys like Forbert who got the size, not necessarily the most nasty, you know, as part of it. Like, so, it's an incomplete picture on this roster where
it's just a weird mix.
It's been
a weird mix for a long time.
Yeah, and so I just look at it like.
My fear that Lindholm is another guy that has size, but he's not that tough.
It's a different kind. It's
he's strong. He can protect the puck and knock guys off the puck, but he's just not.
He can throw some big hits.
Svechnikov, he grabbed Svechnikov and pulled him down. And remember that scrum?
Yeah.
And Svechnikov got back up and went back at him and then I know that they're both big guys, but I think at the end of the day, he sort of let Svechnikov get one over on him there.
So. What I think
is kind of humiliating.
I would say that for me, it's I would make the call. It's a tough call. Foligno, I would sit. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have any legs. He doesn't have any juice. You know, last night, the last thing
we'd want was for him to be the one that drops the gloves with Svechnikov, and then he gets knocked out. That's how this series is going. That's what it feels like they're going to do.
Yeah,
and it's going to happen.
I mean, last night is an example, right? Like, so the post-game scrum at the end, final horn. I mean, he's just yapping at Brendan Smith. No, don't give him the option, dude. Just go. Just start dropping him. Like, what you're going to whisper sweet nothings to him? Like, go. Fight. Like, it's just...
But then, like, the Bruins get hit with an instigator and a 10-minute misconduct. And
game's over. Whatever. Game's over. Who cares?
Oh, you're talking about last night.
Yeah, last night. You know, I don't care at that point. Like, you got to do something. And... you know, for all the veteran leadership that this team has, I mean, we got to see it, right? Like, you got to see it in some fashion, and I just don't think that Foligno plays with the pace that's required for this series. If they were to advance and play the Rangers, a team that's a bit slower on their fourth line, I'd say, yeah, sure. But this is pace. I mean, this is pace and pace and pace and hitting, and it just he's not keeping up. And it's interesting because, like, the analytics show that, like, they have a good shot advantage with him on the ice. They're not scoring, though. Like, I would love a bit more chaos if you're not going to score.
Yeah, no finish.
So I'd make that call. I would put Bleed and Wagner in there for game three.
Who else are you taking out, then? Nosek?
Frederick.
Frederick.
I mean, if he's going to play 6 minutes tonight, what's the point?
Like,
and he's taken two bad penalties now in two games.
That was a pretty dumb interference. It's like he was going to skate by him, but then he was like, oh, wait, he's over there. Get tank that.
Yeah.
Just like gave him a little
so,
for no reason.
Yeah, so what I would do, I mean, my fix here is you go with a fourth line that you really haven't done this year, but it would be Bleed, Lazar in the middle, Wagner. You elevate Thomas Nosek up to third line left wing, and you wonder if that can free him up a little bit, maybe, because drive to the net, you know, be that guy, and maybe you create some space for Coyle and Smith to do something. Smith hasn't been good in this series either. That whole line hasn't done anything.
And he's one of the only guys that can actually shoot the puck.
Yeah, but you look at it, right? Like, okay, like if you make that switch with Frederick, right? I think Frederick's the first guy out, I think, up front, just based on what we've seen, the penalties, all that. Okay, now your options to move up there are Foligno or Nosek. I go Nosek there. And then if you got situations where you want the left-handed face-off option, you put him out there.
Like, you don't trust Frederick to be the guy to go after Svechnikov and be the one to fight him?
No, because I think the Bruins have, in a way, coached that out of him. I think that there was an issue with the Ovechkin incident last year, 2021 season. I think they hit the point where they kind of told him, be a hockey player, don't be a goon.
Right.
And I think ever since then, he's kind of been in this weird spot where he doesn't quite know his role, what he's supposed to. I mean, if you go back to 2021, he was drawing penalties left and right, and it was great. Like,
yeah, he had a nice
was kind of becoming
a
like a little bit of like a rat. And I think the
it
Bruins,
went overboard in that Capitals game. I remember what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and I think the Bruins finally said to him, you're a first-round pick. We need you to not be that guy. And it's like, okay, but he had a
hockey. Well, whose fault is that he was a first-round pick?
Right, right. Like they just go.
I know I drafted you 29th overall. I know you can't score, but I need you to try to score.
So you look at it that way, and I don't know. I just think he's kind of lost his role. He's lost his footing. This is his first postseason. He didn't play at all last year in the playoffs. So, you know, he's learning, but I don't know. I just think he's kind of stuck. He's having an identity crisis, I think, and I don't know if the team is helping him on that.
Needs to do some soul searching.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's too bad. So, like, I guess that makes sense. That you put in Bleed, you know what Anton Bleed's gonna do.
He's gonna hit.
You know, he's gonna make people bleed.
You know that? So out of there's 400. I think this is the right number. 468 NHL forwards played at least 300 5-on-5 minutes this year. Bleed's hits per 60 was top 20. That's
pretty good.
That's a lot of nasty.
That's pretty good. Top 20 when there's a lot of bottom six guys that are hitting.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So I that's just something to consider here, I think, if you're the Bruins. And Bleed has as many goals as Nick Foligno in about half the games. So,
yeah. Well, again, I think...
Offensively, I think you're getting the same production.
I mean, hopefully Bruce hears this latest podcast. Thanks for listening, Bruce. I know you're a big fan because he did switch up the defense. And you said last night, I think he should go to Swayman Game 3. And lo and behold... we have a goaltending change. I remember I said that last night. I was just like, I don't care. I don't think goaltending has anything to do with it. But you sold me. You sold me on the idea of throwing Swayman in there as a bit of a spark. Maybe Swayman becomes that hot goalie everyone wants him to be. You know, maybe he sparks them.
Ooh,
by.
Ooh, he pretty.
Maybe he gets them through a period without giving up a goal, and maybe they actually break through. Maybe they build a lead. Maybe that is the spark they need, is to put Swayman in there. Because, you know, if he gives up. He gives up three goals in the first period. You're going to lose anyway, you know. So, like, you might as well take the plunge.
Yeah, and the other part of it too is that the Bruins have played better in front of Swayman this year for whatever reason, tighter defensively, not as many high danger chances and shots against. So, you just hope it kind of rubs off there. But the other part of it too, and Cassie said this last night and again today, is that Swayman. I'm sorry, Ullmark hasn't been the problem, but he hasn't given you that big save that keeps it close, right?
A lot of people said about Tuca.
So now you got to see if this kid can give you some timely saves, because they need them. They need them. If it's going to be a 2-1 game, you know, because they're not giving you much. You're getting looks, but they're not necessarily high quality looks. There's been a ton of like these off angle 35, 45 feet away looks that just have no prayer of going in unless it bounces off the goalie and in, right? So if you're not getting looks, you got to win these games 2-1, and maybe they think Swayman gives them that chance.
So, is there anything they could do to stop these deflection goals? Like, is it the only solution is to clear the front of the net? Because they just can't do it. Their defense is not predicated on that. It's the same story, and I feel like that's a Bruce Cassidy thing. Like, it's just you get them hemmed in their own end, and you go back from low to high, and then you park your ass in front of the net and try to deflect it, and it's working over and over again for Carolina, and they're never able to clear the front of the net, even though they have guys with the size to do it. It just feels like they're not coached to play that way, and they just don't know what to do when they get in that situation. That's just what it looks like to me. But like, is there any way they could stop these goals? Because if they keep deflecting in front of the net, you know, they're going to break through at some point.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think it begins with the forwards. I think there's got to be more of a willingness to sell out and block some shots. You know, we said this last night, it hurts to win this time of year. You got to block the shot. You know, I go back to those Columbus teams, even those Rangers teams that Tortorella had, where, you know, they were overmatched talent-wise and skill-wise. But how do they stay in games? Every single member of that roster was willing to block a shot. They dive in front of it, and they would frustrate teams. And with a team that has a defense as active as Carolina, it's the quickest way to stymie them. It's the quickest way. Go back to 2014, right? The Montreal Canadiens were not a good team, but how they beat you was they would block shots and get things going the other way. And all of a sudden, now you're like, oh, Jesus, now they got a 2-on-1. Like, it requires, you know, grit and balls. It requires, yeah, like, you got to be like, you're not getting the shot through me.
You got to be able to block out the idea that it's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, and it
you got to be able to absorb that.
Exactly. So I think
pain really is all in your head, you know what I mean? Like,
it just it begins up top there with your defenseman. Like, you know, I think you go to that D'Angelo shot last night we talked about a little bit. Like, Holla, he's just trying to stay with him, and it's like, dude, just get in the way. Like, just stop trying to skate with him and just focus on where the shot is going and then sell out for it. Right? It was kind of like it was a half positional, half, I want to block it, but I don't want, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have that commitment. So that's where I think it is. I think it begins with the buy-in from the forwards to either take the hits, block the shots, and get going the other way. Because the defenseman can only do so much,
but
right?
Wait, like, why haven't they thought of that already? blocking the shots.
I don't think it's necessarily...
That seems so simple, but it's like...
As a dominant puck possession team, which is what they have been throughout their time, I don't necessarily think it's in their DNA.
That's sort of what I'm saying,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
But their defense is all about getting the puck out of there as soon as possible. It's not about actually defending,
well,
so to speak.
Adapt or die, baby.
That's what I've been saying.
You gotta do it.
Been saying it for years. All right, do you got any more thoughts before we get out of here? We're already up against it. We just want to do a little half hour episode for you.
No, I get a feeling that they're gonna, I don't know what it is, I get a feeling that we're gonna see a really good effort in game three. I just
want a prediction, Ty.
Sure.
I say they score in the first period.
Ooh, that'd
I say
be nice.
they score first. They have a similar start to the first games. This time they actually break through. The crowd gets on their side. The officials might get on their side. Carolina gets a little frustrated, maybe get it in their heads a little bit, and the Bruins will cut the series to 2-1. I don't know what's going to happen after that. Carolina could easily win game 4 and 5, but I'm predicting a Bruins scoring first and winning game 3.
How many times have we seen this year with this team where they're playing like absolute dog crap? And then one thing goes their way, all of a sudden they have 6 goals. You're like, oh, okay. And they rattle off 4 wins in a row. Like, that's why nothing would surprise me with this series, because I don't believe that Kochetkov and Raanta are this good. I don't think that they can be these guys for an entire series.
I don't think they've had to make a lot of hard saves, honestly.
Yeah, so if you can get one thing to go your way, do the floodgates open like they have for this team so many times this year?
Just get one through.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think that there's a lot on the line here, right? Yeah. Like, we're talking about leadership, right? We're talking about Bergeron's final last hurrah. I think he's back, but in the event that it's not, like, you got pride on the line here. You're going to get bounced in 5 games in maybe your final time together as a group.
By a team you just 2 years ago, you had one over on them. So it's like you're going to let the student become the teacher here?
Yeah. So they've been in the spot before. I should say the leadership of this team has been in the spot before. Marchand, Bergeron, you know, they were part of that team in 2011 that was down 2-0 in 2 separate series. They came back to win both series. You know, I have a hard time believing that the spot that you're in now is worse than the spot you were in 2011 when you were down 2-0 to Montreal, when you were going to Montreal for the games 3 and 4. You're on home ice. You've been a pretty good home team, right? So you got to hope that bears out here, and you send it back to Carolina tied 2-2. Nothing would surprise me, though. Nothing would surprise me.
No, nothing would surprise me either. All right. Well, thanks for listening. If you listened to our post game last night. If you listened today, thanks. I love you all. This is the Sports Hub Underground podcast. Well, obviously, we are primarily a Bruins podcast, and so there's plenty of Bruins to talk about, even just since last night to today. So hopefully you enjoyed it. We're going to have more Bruins post-game shows for you going forward, and we'll try to get more regular episodes. But, you know, schedule's going to be a little screwy, but I think the Bruins fans who listen to us will be happy. So, all right, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.